T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. Coming up in exactly 15 minutes, if you missed it, we will replay our conversation with Patrick Mahomes, the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll be on the show coming up in exactly 15 minutes. I think we saw the best of times and the worst of times with the Kansas City Chiefs. The worst of times was the first half. That's the team that has, for the most part, underperformed so far this season. I came on this show and guaranteed the over for this team. Said you'd be hard-pressed to find 4 or 5 losses on this schedule with how we felt preseason about the Kansas City Chiefs. They appeared to be miles ahead of the competition. As they have started playing games, we have seen that that is not true. A big reason of why we've seen that that is not true is due to turnovers and giving the football away. It's been that simple. We're going to play some cuts for you, and it's going to be about everybody pulling together. And it's going to be about enough is enough. But you want to know the real difference between the first half and the second half of the Chiefs game? Was in the first half, they didn't protect the football. In the second half, they did. The Chiefs are largely the same team that we have been watching and following for the last 3 to 4 seasons. They've still got the high-powered offense. They've still got the same pass rush that is a little bit inconsistent. They've got the same linebacker group for the most part, albeit, I think, a little bit better. The same young but inexperienced corners, but guys that you like. This team is mostly the same that we've come to know and love over these last couple years. The big difference is the turnovers. That's what Sunday to me is really about. We'll talk about the defense and can they use this as a springboard to turn the season around. We talked about Clyde Edwards-Helaire and the difference between him and Darrell Williams. Those are all kind of side dishes. The main course to this game is, are the turnover problems real with the Kansas City Chiefs? I'm going to give you a couple stats here. The Chiefs are on pace for 37 turnovers. That's not sustainable. You can't win a Super Bowl turning the ball over at that pace. You're not going to win the division turning the ball over at that pace. What happens is you turn the football over against teams much better than the Washington football team, and they make you pay. Buffalo's good enough that if you turn the football over the way the Chiefs did, you're not beating them. The Ravens are good enough that all they need is that one interception, that one fumble, and that's the difference between you winning and losing the football game. That ain't going to be the difference between you win or losing to the Washington football team because they're not good enough to keep up to where you were. And when Andy says this, as he said yesterday in his media availability, it really comes down to one thing.
I just think the guys put their mind to it and bared down and, you know, kind of enough's enough. And, you know, there's a point where you have to do that. And I thought they did a nice job with it.
I thought the second half of that game was the best version of the Kansas City Chiefs that we've seen so far this season. I thought they were dominant on really all 3 phases of the game in the second half. Offensively, I thought Mahomes was a wizard. He made that little underhand shovel play to Travis Kelce. He had that big-time throw in the middle of the field to Tyreek Hill. He had the one touchdown pass where he threw a rocket. Like, you can't throw the ball much harder than Mahomes did on that play. They had the ball in the late third quarter, and I was talking to Matt Verderama, Fanside, and you guys have heard him on the station before, and I told him, this is the drive in which Kansas City scores and then removes all doubt. Hey, we're up 4. We're up 5. You're kind of in it, but not really. We're going to put together a drive that lets you know that the day is over. Start to warm the bus up. Start to make other plans. You're not winning this football game. They put one of those drives together. I thought the Chiefs played exceptional for the last 30 minutes. But ultimately, this team is not evaluated. This team is not judged based off how you look against the Washington football team. That's not a like opponent. You're judged by how you play against Baltimore, how you play against the Bills, how you play against the Packers here in a couple of weeks. Those are the litmus test and the measuring stick games that we evaluate Kansas City through. And the one thing that cannot stand is the turnovers. It's been their Achilles heel this season, and it's been by far and away their biggest issue. It's been the one thing that they've pretty consistently done is turn the football over. They've turned it over 18 times so far this season. And some of the interceptions from Patrick Mahomes have been inexcusable interceptions. There's been some that have just been things that happen. Like yesterday, the Tyreek Hill interception where it bounced off his hands. Other than spoon feeding it to him, I don't know how you can get him the ball much better than you tried to give it to him. You've had some plays where it was some hard luck interceptions. Interceptions that shouldn't really count on the quarterback, you know? He didn't throw an interception. He didn't make a poor decision. He hit an all-pro wide receiver right in his fingertips, and he just dropped the football. Last week against Tyreek Hill, you throw him the football, and he just pops it up in the air. But the second interception is as bad of a throw that you can make. I mean, it's as bad as a throw. That's something I expect from Ben Roethlisberger. That's something I expect from 2020 Drew Brees. That's something Phillip Rivers used to do. Remember we used to make fun of Phillip Rivers for some of the interceptions? That's what Patrick Mahomes did yesterday. The interception against the Los Angeles Chargers. Chiefs had a chance to win the football game. Who knows how that game goes if Mahomes throws that ball out of bounds, they then punt it away, and now you force Los Angeles to go down the field as opposed to getting the ball at midfield against the Baltimore Ravens. The game changed after Mahomes' interception, and he made a pretty terrible throw. He's thrown 15 interceptions in his last 15 starts as the quarterback for this team. So before we start to move forward about this team turning things around and playing better and coming together, the turnovers have to stop at some point. They create the ceiling for this team more than anything else they do, more than the pass rush, more than Andy Reid's lack of running the ball or perceived lack of running the football. There's a lot of things we think hold this team back. The number one answer is the turnovers. They cannot reach their goal if they don't start protecting the football a lot better than they've done so far this season. So that's really the real story from the game yesterday. It's that. It's this team hasn't protected the football. Will they start doing a better job of it going forward? That's really hit number one. Patrick Mahomes coming up in about 5 minutes, and we'll talk to him about the interceptions that have troubled this team so far this season and the mistakes that have troubled this team so far. On the flip side, I want to play this audio cut from you guys really quickly from Tyrann Mathieu, because I thought Tyrann Mathieu really set the tone for this team. I felt like Tyrann had his swagger back. I don't know if it was maybe him having a different level of trust with Juan Thornhill, who's playing alongside him, but I thought yesterday they did just about everything we wanted them to do. They made the switch from Sorensen to Thornhill. Thornhill played 100% of the defensive snaps. Sorensen played in less than 40% of the snaps. Go back and watch it. They had Sorensen playing a lot closer to the line of scrimmage than they had before. That's how he should be used. He should be used as a hybrid linebacker type that can cover tight ends underneath and not big play down the field receivers. That's not his role anymore on this team. I thought he was properly used. I don't have much of an issue with Daniel Sorensen and how he played on Sunday. I thought he was fine. This team started to do a lot of the things we wanted them to do defensively. They made the switch from Ben Neiman. Willie Gay Jr. is getting more of a snap. Nick Bolton's getting more of a snap. Now, we'll see what that looks like and what happens with Anthony Hitchens, who had the hyperextended elbow. But for the most part, they've made necessary changes to move forward. Now it's time to keep going. It's time to get Chris Jones back. It's time to get Jaron Reed really going. I want to play this cut for you guys really quickly on what Tyrann Mathieu had to say about Frank Clark. This is what can really change things for this defense.
Yeah, he's heating up, man. You know, Frank has dealt with a lot, you know, a lot of different emotions. And, you know, to see him still into it, to see him still buying in, you know, to the coaching and everything that's going on, you could tell that he's, you know, he's more focused than ever. And I think, you know, he's somebody that we're going to need, you know, going forward. So, you know, I thought he played well today, probably not as well as he wanted to. But if he could keep stacking them, you know, obviously stay healthy, you know, he's going to be a big reason why we can get back to, you know, the kind of defense, you know, I think we could be.
This team is going to turn things around defensively by doing two things. Number one, they have to get better pressure up front. It's not that surprising to me in a game in which their defensive line played the best, their defense played the best. It's kind of like it's a one-to-one correlation of how those two things work, right? It's sort of like if you get pressure up front, it opens things up for your defense to create turnovers, to get three and outs, to get off the field, to really disrupt what the offense wants to do. Their defensive line played better. They announced Jaron Reed's name. Frank Clark made plays in this game. Tershawn Wharton made plays in this game. You saw a little bit of Derek Nnadi in this game. Your defensive line played exponentially better in this game. Your defense played exponentially better in this game. If this team is going to hit those benchmarks and those goals, it's going to be because guys like Frank Clark start playing better. On offense, it's simple. You need a handful of guys to really carry your team. It's not that different on the defense. There's a handful of guys who are capable of carrying this defense, and Frank Clark is one of them. He changes things for Jaron Reed. He opens the game up for Tershawn Wharton. He allows those guys to go out there and make plays. I don't think those guys play great by any means, but it's the best we've seen them play so far this season. So, Rob, if you're talking about what really is going to last from this game, I don't think there's much. They beat the Washington football team. Washington's probably one of the three worst teams on their schedule. That's not a good team. They're not bad, but that team's not good. They're probably going to win six games at the absolute most, maybe seven if everything breaks right. That's not a team that's going to compete for the playoffs. That's a team that is probably going to be in the process of finding a new quarterback this offseason. What's going to last from this team and from this game is turning the football over and the adjustments that they made in the second half, and can that propel them moving forward? On Sunday, they have a much harder test. They go up against an offense that can beat you in a lot of different ways. Tannehill's one of the best play-action quarterbacks in the NFL. They've got one of the 15 best running backs in the history of the league on their team. They got a future Hall of Fame wide receiver in Julio Jones. They got a really good second receiver in A.J. Brown. They're starting to get back and get healthy, and maybe they'll start catching momentum too. Now's the time for you to start making those little changes on defense to get 5% better, 10% better, and get to a point where you feel really good about this defense moving forward. Rob, let's head to the phone lines right now and catch up with the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes.
He's a Super Bowl champion and NFL MVP.
Mahomes throws for the end zone, the pass caught, wide open, touchdown, Kansas City!
And there's only one place in Kansas City.
Mahomes, country long for the end zone, wide open, touchdown, Kansas City!
And the only one place in the country.
That's what's great about the NFL, is you keep building and trying to play your best football going into the playoffs and try to get to the Super Bowl.
That talks with Patrick Mahomes every week. And that's right here on 610 Sports Radio, your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Our conversations with the quarterback are presented by Google Fiber. Our conversation with Patrick earlier today started with how much more fun these conversations are when they're coming off a good win.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's always good to get the win and be able to move into that next week with a little bit more energy because you're ready to go for the next one, trying to go get another one.
So Andy, in his press conference, said that you guys, the players, said enough's enough heading into the second half. Kind of paint the picture, set the scene for us of what halftime was like for you guys.
Yeah, obviously, it wasn't the way we wanted to play the first half. I mean, we kind of came out strong at the very beginning, and then it kind of died down. We started stalling out on our drives, some bad decisions made. I mean, the way we ended the half with the interception that I threw could have kind of derailed us, but I think guys kind of just went to that locker room and said, hey, let's go back at it. Let's go back out there and try to make something happen. And it wasn't even a lot of talk, really. It was just kind of – everybody looked at each other, kind of told each other, hey, we're going to go get this win no matter what it takes.
Do you think that can be a spark in you guys' season and maybe get you back on the path that you guys thought you should be at?
Yeah, I mean, hopefully for sure. You kind of have to take it week by week at this point. I mean, every team you're playing this year has been a battle. So you take it week by week, knowing we're going to play a great opponent this next week. But you hope you can carry that momentum into the next game and then hopefully carry it into the rest of the season.
Yesterday I had an interview and I was asked, are the Chiefs more of the first half team or the second half team? And I can't lie to you, I'm not sure which one you guys are. What do you think? Do you think you're more the first half team or more the second half team?
Yeah, I think we're battling through. I mean, we can be that second half team, but it's going to take a lot of execution. It's going to take us getting better at turnovers, including myself, obviously. It's going to take our defense playing the way they played the whole game yesterday, especially that second half. But I think it shows that we can be that team, but it's going to take us being better every single week. And I think if we do that by the end of the year, hopefully we're playing like that second half team is.
So you guys game recap on ESPN.com. It says teammates approach Patrick Mahomes after his second interception in the first half and maybe the worst of his NFL career. They told him to keep being himself. What is it like when you make a mistake like that? You clearly knew that it was your fault. You went over to the sideline and tapped your chest. What is it like to have your teammates come up to you and say, don't worry about it, keep doing you? What kind of confidence boost does that give you?
Yeah, I mean, it gives me a lot of confidence. I mean, you see sometimes the quarterbacks have interceptions or do dumb plays like I did in that game. You can see guys start checking it down or start being a little bit more conservative to try to make sure that they don't make the game any worse. But I think when you have the confidence of your teammates to come up to you and be like, hey, we need you to be you. We need you to be the playmaker. We need you to go out there and scramble around and be who you are. It gave me the confidence to go out there and keep doing that. And I've never been one guy to shy away from kind of making those crazy plays and doing those different type of throws. But whenever you know your teammates are behind you, no matter what, I mean, it kind of gives you that extra little boost to go out and do it.
A lot has been made this season about teams playing you guys a little bit differently. We had Mitch Holthus on the show, and he called it the Tampa Bay blueprint. Are you feeling some of the pressure of that, of teams maybe not allowing you to do some of the things you did early on in your career?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just every defense has a similar type of style where they're going to put two safeties over the top. They're gonna play a lot of zone coverages and then some man a little bit on third down. And they're all kind of doing the similar thing. So I think it's not necessarily more about me doing those plays where I scramble around, but I think it's more about us having to execute and drive the length of the field. They're not going to let us have the big play over the top that you're so used to the us having with the speed that we have. But we have to be able to show that we can drive the ball like we did in that second half. Long drives and get touchdowns at the end of them.
I've noticed that teams are much more physical with Travis this year than they've been. I feel like that's sort of the game plan, to not let him run as free, to kind of elbow him, grab him, kind of do some things. Are you noticing that teams are defending him differently this year?
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely being physical with him and Tyreek, trying to get their hands on him so they can't get those free releases. I mean, I think those guys are up for the challenge. I mean, he's still putting up pretty crazy numbers, if I said so myself. So, I mean, there's not a lot you can do to stop him. So they're going to try different ways to disrupt him mentally, physically, whatever they can do to try to limit him as much as possible. But it's much harder done than said.
Right now we're talking to the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, joining us on the show today. His conversations are powered by Google Fiber. It's sort of the million-dollar question facing this team right now. You guys have 14 turnovers in your last 18 quarters. How do you guys get that part of your game corrected to get to that next level you were talking about?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's things that we can't control. It's just going to be about us finishing plays. I mean, I guys are playing hard, running the ball hard, and that we've had the unluckiness of them getting the ball stripped out on some plays and then the interceptions just have to get cut out. And that becomes decision-making and kind of really like studying the defense, knowing when to take chances, when not to take chances. But at the end of the day, I mean, I think you see, even if with the turnovers, we're battling every single game. We're battling. We're in every game. We're doing what we're supposed to do. The turnovers are just killing us a little bit, but to have this many turnovers, I mean, it's got to be on pace for like a record amount of turnovers for a team. And to be 3-3 with the schedule that we played, you can take a lot of good out of that, knowing that if we cut out the turnovers, it'll be a much different season.
That's one of the things that at some point you just would envision that it's being corrected. So I actually looked up the on pace. You guys are on pace for 37 turnovers. And that's just not the team that I've watched. That's not the team that you've played for the last three seasons or so.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I promise you, we talk about it during the week, and we're trying to get it corrected. And knowing the guys that we have on this team and the culture that we built, I would guess that it probably gets cut down faster than you would think. I mean, we're going to be working on it every single week, and hopefully by the end of the season that we cut that to what we usually do, and that's winning the turnover battle and winning football games.
You could tell from Darrell Williams' press conference during the week how much this start meant to him and how much he had been sort of waiting on this moment. I thought he played well yesterday. He had over 60 yards rushing and 2 touchdowns. What does Darrell Williams give you guys?
Yeah, I mean, it's just the physical nature that he runs with. I mean, he's able to burst through there, get the extra yards. He caught a few out of the backfield yesterday, made some guys miss on some crucial down and distances and got first downs. And he's a guy that you know that he puts in the work every single day. I mean, he's kind of waited for his chance to kind of do this, and he's really, I mean, battled his entire career. Whenever we needed him, he's made plays happen. So, I mean, it's definitely something that you're happy for him, and I'm sure he'll continue to be better and better as the season goes on.
Just as a teammate, how cool is it to see guys that sort of wait their opportunity, you play with them for a while, they finally get their shot, and then they make the most of it the way he did yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, that's what it's all about, man. I mean, in this league, sometimes, I mean, you see some first-round draft picks make some stuff happen, but a lot of times it's those guys that are either undrafted or drafted late that put in the work every single day to become the key vital players on your team. And I think you see a lot of that here with the Kansas City Chiefs. It doesn't matter where you're drafted, where you've come from. If you put in that work every single day and you're going to be someone that helps the team, you're going to play in this team.
One player who put that work in, as you just described, was Jody Fortson. Really unfortunate injury from him. I remember having the conversation with you early in the season about you telling him that he made the team and him finally getting a shot. And he had a big catch in this game. And then to see him go out with the Achilles injury, very disappointing injury.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's definitely disappointing because of the guy. I mean, he worked his tail off to be in the position that he was in. He was making plays for us. But I mean, we're going to have guys step up, and I think those tight ends that we have will step up and try to help fill that void in different ways, as well as having some of those bigger receivers do some of the stuff that he was doing for us. So definitely be someone that will hurt our offense and hurt our team. But I know, knowing him and his work ethic, he'll be back strong. So I'm excited for his journey to get back to the football field.
How do you guys carry the momentum for this win into this week as you get ready for the Tennessee Titans?
Yeah, I mean, I think you know playing the Tennessee Titans, and we know especially we played them over the last couple times over these last few years, is they're going to be a tough football team. They're going to be a physical football team, and obviously they have great players, and they have, I mean, with Julio Jones, Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry, I mean, they got a lot of great players over there. So just knowing that we have to kind of carry this momentum, kind of correct those turnovers like we said, and then that fight that we had in the second half, more than anything of how we played, just the fight, the energy that we had, we got to carry that into this next week.
Last thing here, Patrick, I'm going to officially invite myself over. We have 500 episodes of Law & Order. This Thursday, it's the 500th episode of Law & Order. I'm inviting myself over. I got the popcorn. I got whatever you need, my man.
Oh, man, I didn't know that. I haven't been watching lately, but I mean, it's crazy that show's been on for so long, and it's still great every single time.
That's the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, joining us on the show today. Our conversations with the quarterback are powered by Google Fiber. Patrick, always good talking to you, my man.
Rob, how many different hairstyles do you think Olivia Benson has had over the 500 episodes of Law & Order SVU? I mean, at least 9. There's been at least 9 different Olivia Benson hairstyles.
I was going to guess a dozen, but yeah, you know better than me.
I love that show. So, a lot of you always ask, who's available? What names? There is a defensive end who just got released from his team that I would love for Kansas City to go pick up. I'll tell you who on the other side. Keep it locked in. It's The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2-6. Welcome back to 610 Sports Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Rob, the Chiefs' defensive line issues could have potentially been answered. You got the breaking news, Sounder? The Houston Texans are cutting defensive end Whitney Mercilus. I want to read to you guys a sentence from Aaron Wilson. Quote, Whitney Mercilus, who has 57 career sacks, is being released by the Houston Texans. He is an experienced pass rusher who could provide a boost to a contender. Rob, Let's play Family Feud really quickly. Can you name a contender that could use a boost from an experienced pass rusher?
I can think of a couple. Definitely one locally.
The number one answer on the board, survey says, is the Kansas City Chiefs. Go sign Whitney Mercilus. I'm always going to advocate for the Chiefs to sign corners and edge rushers. Always. Whitney Mercilus is just sitting there available. Go get him. He could provide a boost to a contender. You're a contender. Who could use a boost? This is manna from heaven, Rob. Go make this deal happen. If you don't believe me, let's go to the phone line and have friend of the show, Landry Locker, join us on the show. Landry, we basically have you on whenever the Houston Texans release somebody to see if they make any sense in Kansas City. That's become your role on the show now.
I like it.
I like Whitney Mercilus. I at least like the idea of Whitney Mercilus. You've seen much more.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Him this season than I have. Do you think he makes sense in Kansas City?
No, I do not. And I think it was nice of Aaron Wilson to let Whitney Mercilus' agent ghostwrite his tweet. I do not think y'all want Whitney Mercilus. I get liking the idea of him, but Whitney Mercilus has been a shell of himself for the last 2 years. Now, in fairness, and I will say this, and this is the difference between your situation and the role slash situation I'm in, if I were Whitney Mercilus and I'd been with the Houston Texans for over a half decade and I'd been, you know, a team that's just kind of knocking on that top tier of the AFC, and then all of a sudden I had to be a part of what we've seen happen with the Texans the last couple of years, there is a chance that I would not be giving my best efforts and I would not be putting my body in the best position to succeed. So there's always that, because Tyrann Mathieu was not what y'all have seen. What y'all have seen from Tyrann Mathieu, and this is even when they were good, he was not that here. So maybe if Whitney Mercilus goes into a situation like Kansas City, maybe you guys see something different than what we've seen, which it seems like you guys have done quite often. But if Whitney Mercilus is what I've been watching every Sunday right now, you guys would be better off elevating someone from the practice squad.
So you kind of answer my next question. I don't know why you come on here to then throw water on my fire. I don't do that on your show when you have me come on. I don't do that to you. Do you think that he has anything left in the tank? Because you mentioned it, and we certainly see that scenario. A guy has a change of scenery. You got a chance to win a ring, and maybe we thought your gas tank was on E, but you still got a quarter of a tank left. How much do you think is left in the tank physically for Whitney Mercilus?
The E light is on. You can still get to your destination, but the E light is on just based on what I've seen. He is running on empty. He was out of shape last year. This year, he was in a little bit of better shape. But he is definitely running on E. I think y'all's better option, and I don't know if y'all would be able to do this or not. And I think it might take. I don't know if it takes maybe a sixth, a seventh. We have a young guy here who's been active the last 2 years, inactive the last 2 weeks, and no one can figure out why. And it's Charles Aminihou, who was tied for the team lead in quarterback hits, who looked like a guy that was ready to take the next step. Maybe getting rid of Whitney means that that ends, but Charles Domenech, who has the same agent as Deshaun Watson, David Mulugeta, and a lot of people believe that that is being held against him here. I've known Charles since he was back at the University of Texas, and he gets better every single year. And this year at training camp, Charles was the best guy. He was the best D lineman on this team, and he's still young. He's in year three. But if you really, really want someone from the Texans that is not in the good graces and not playing well, Charles Omenihu would be the guy that I think would make the most sense for the Kansas City Chiefs. I think he could help you a lot.
Landry, at this point, if you think that you guys have a player that could get to the quarterback that could help, I'll take your worn. I'll take your tattered. I'll take whoever you guys are willing to offer us that you think can get to the quarterback. It's not like you guys need him. You're not going to be competitive anytime soon. So you guys need to be basically a feeder system to good teams like Kansas City who still have a chance to win something.
Exactly. That's why you have the Honey Badger right now. That's why you guys are able to do this. I see. They can have the same type of role I do, and they can help you guys out. That's what y'all need to do. And I'm so jealous of you guys on a Monday. You guys are sitting there beating the Washington football team, and now all of a sudden, you guys are looking to improve, and it sounds like the sky is falling, which you guys are going to be okay.
I think they're going to be okay, too. They do have to clean up the turnovers. Last thing here, market-wise for Whitney Mercilus, based on what you're saying, it sounds like you can get him for a bag of balls. I'm assuming this is a one-year, very, very cheap veteran minimum kind of deal, right?
Right, and I mean, there's a couple of teams that might, if he does have anything left, I think the first guys that are going to make phone calls is, I think, Anthony Weaver up there. And then I think Mike Vrabel in Tennessee. If Mike Vrabel, who was here before, could find a role for him in Tennessee, because I know their defense is kind of up and down, then those would be the teams you're competing for. But it's definitely going to be a contender. So you would probably have to compete with the Tennessee, maybe Baltimore or something like that, if there is anything left. But I don't think he has much left. But again, if I was having to go to Houston every day and listen to a team chaplain tell me how to play football, it would be a lot different than going, you know, playing with Mahomes and all those guys.
Landry, I just want to say Godspeed. I know that it's tough right now. I know that it's difficult to wake up every day and not have any joy from your NFL team. So I want to say that I'm pulling for you. I'm praying for you. And I appreciate you hopping on.
Two words, go Astros.
Absolutely. That's Landry Locker joining us on the show today. Yo, man, you got to start vetting these guys a little bit more seriously. So when I get really excited about a guy, he won't come in here and then tell me he stinks. He's a bum.
This happened. Who did the Jags cut in the offseason? You're like, oh, I want him. When did Jags get on? Oh, he sucks. He's terrible. 40 seconds later, I saw the sadness in your eyes.
Yeah, I was really excited about Whitney Mercilus. He's got 3 sacks this year. That would make him the team leader on the Kansas City Chiefs. It can't be worse than what they have right now at pass rush. You're telling me right now who's better, Alex Okafor or Whitney Mercilus? Who do you think's better? Mercilus is probably better.
I mean, that's an unfair low bar. What if he's Mike Dana? Is that a good move?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. If you're telling me that right now they could pick up and they could clone Mike Dana and that's what Whitney Mercilus is, absolutely. I would 100% take that.
What if he's Jadeveon Clowney?
On a veteran minimum deal? I'm cool with it. It ain't no money.
Sounds like you don't care who the player is. You just want a pass rusher.
I think that Mercilus still has... Now, saying that the gas light's on, all right, that means you think he should retire. I don't think it's that bad. Is he probably at less than a fourth of a tank? Yeah, probably. But if you're not going to trade a significant piece for a player, that's all the options that are available. He's getting released week 7 of the NFL season. Good players are not getting released in the middle of the season. Hurt players or old players are getting released at the end of the season. Hurt players or old players are the ones that are getting released. He's an old player. I still think he's got something left. He's got 3 sacks this year. That's more than we can say for most. I'm still interested. I'm not going to let Landry Locker's negativity bring me down today. I would like for them to make a phone call to the Houston Texans or his agent, and let's see if he's interested in coming to join the Kansas City Chiefs. I think that would make a lot of sense for all parties. Coming up, we'll get to the extra point. Keep it locked in. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio. You're listening to The Drive. Now CDOT's got one extra point.
Rob, I believe that the MVP conversation has been narrowed down to these six individuals. Dak Prescott. And we'll get back to Dak coming up momentarily. Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray, Tom Brady, Josh Allen, and Matthew Stafford. Do you think anyone else can win NFL MVP that is not one of those six individuals?
I believe you have identified the list. Maybe Aaron Rodgers, he wasn't coming off one, but he is, so he's out.
Yeah, I don't think they're giving it to him back-to-back, and especially because the Packers just haven't been world beaters. They've been good, but they haven't been world beaters by any means. He is winning first-team all-press conference, though, which should be its own award. He's been absolutely fantastic this year. You guys tried to tell me that Dak Prescott was Alex Smith, and that's why I have trust issues to this day. You guys lied to me. You told me Dak Prescott was Alex Smith. When Dak's closer to being the best quarterback in the league than he's closer to being Alex Smith. I'll never forgive you for this. I sat here on this show for years and argued for Dak Prescott, and you guys told me I was crazy. My second point, Rob, is going to be, was I not right about the Cleveland Browns? Was I not right? Nick, you are here. You heard me tell you guys about Cleveland. I told you Cleveland never beats anybody good. They can only be competitive against good teams. I told you that their resume was flimsy. I told you a regression year was coming. And Rob, people mocked me, laughed at me, scoffed at me. Told me I didn't know what I was talking about when I tried to warn you guys about the Cleveland Browns. Now look at them. They're 3-3. They're banged up. And they're in danger of missing the playoffs. Rob, I don't get a lot right. Actually, you know what? Let me not be humble here. I get a whole lot right. But this is at the top of the list of things that I got right this offseason was I tried to warn you guys about the Cleveland Browns and none of you wanted to listen to me, Rob. None of you wanted to listen to me.
I mean, didn't you tell me about Josh Gordon? It's a sample size game and it's too early to give up the dream and I'm not right yet and et cetera, et cetera. 6 weeks for a team that's still going to make the playoffs seems a little bit early for a victory lap. I'm just saying.
Okay, let's go back to your Josh Gordon point.
Which was right.
My man didn't play at all last season. He's getting his legs under him. He's getting his conditioning right. He's understanding the playbook. That's what he's doing here. He hasn't been here long enough for you to make these sweeping conclusions. He ain't even been to a barbecue restaurant in town. You're not really from Kansas City if you ain't been to a barbecue restaurant yet. He ain't even had the Gates sauce yet. You already judging my man?
I mean, I saw on social media he went to Garozzo's.
Yeah, great meal. Have I told you that one of my goals is I want my picture to be up at Garozzo's? That's when you know you've made it. That's the who's who in Kansas City. If your picture is not up there, you're nobody in this town. You're nobody. I got to do something great enough that my picture is up there. Nick has got to the point that his picture would be up there. If Nick came back into town and went to go eat at Garozzo's, his picture would be up next to Eric Hosmer's. He ain't Eric Hosmer. What am I doing, Rob, that I'm not up on the picture that I want to be on Garozzo's?
Is it Danny on that level or is it a notch
below? No, I don't think Danny's even at the Garozzo's level. I don't think Danny's at Garozzo's level.
I wonder if there's different, like, if there's, like, some sort of system. Like, let's say Jason Sudeikis tomorrow when he's, you know, if he comes in town and he reaches out to Mike Garozzo and says, hey, I'm going to come down and eat there. Do they take someone else off the wall to make room for a Sudeikis type?
Yes. Yes.
Who comes down?
I don't know. I got to see all the people that are up there.
I feel like if you made it, you'd be in that, oh, God, almost pulled off the wall level,
though. Sudeikis might actually be already on the list. I mean, I haven't gone in a while, and I haven't seen it. But when you go in there, so if you guys don't know what I'm talking about, Garozzo's, probably the most popular Italian restaurant in the city. They have a picture of, like, all the famous people who have come to eat there up on the wall. So it's, like, really cool. It's, like, a really cool time machine. So you can see, like, Bo Jackson and Neil Smith and Marcus Allen. You know, all these cool people that have, like, historical, you know, relevance in the city. And this weekend, Josh Gordon posted a picture with him and Eric Stonestreet that they went to go eat at Garozzo's. And I'm imagining now that Josh Gordon is on the wall at Garozzo's.
Josh Gordon's definitely not done anything to be wall worthy. Come on now.
He took the picture with Stonestreet, though. He took the picture with Stonestreet. He's probably on the wall.
He's also pictured. He's not the picture. You know how in the paper it's like, you know, Patrick Mahomes, you're ready for the game. Also pictured. Dan Sorensen. He's also pictured.
I really want to get on the wall. I want to be right next to the picture of Carl Peterson. That's the one I want. I want to request space. Like, I want him to leave that space open. And then in like 10 years, when I do enough, I can go in there. They'll take my Polaroid and they'll put it right next to the picture of Carl Peterson. I'm not working hard enough if I'm not up there. I don't have many goals at this point of like things I'm like, man, I really want to do that. The two things I really want to do is I want to be on the wall at Garozzo's and I want to turn on the Plaza lights.
Do you eat enough at Garozzo's to be eligible? I don't think you're a one-time diner and you're up on the wall.
I would start eating there more often if there was a possibility for them to put me on the wall. If there was a possibility, I would be a frequent member of Garozzo's. I'd be a frequent member. I've been there multiple times. It's actually a great place to eat. Do you have any goals like that? Do you want to turn on the Plaza lights?
I would like to turn on the Plaza lights. That'd be nice. Maybe be recognized at the other place more than just Carrington's producer. You know, small goals.
You got to keep working on that. I don't know if that's going to happen anytime soon.
Hey, you're that guy that knows Carrington, technically.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to happen for you. I feel bad, but I don't know if that's in the cards for your future. I had a lot of fun today. We will have even more fun tomorrow on this same radio show. Take care of yourself. It's The Drive.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.